The Jeff Weiler Columbus Auto Mall is turning up the heat this summer. Buy now with no down payment and no payments for 120 days.
That means no payments until fall. No payments until fall.
With over 8,000 cars, trucks, and SUVs available, there's something for every budget and lifestyle. Pick your ride, get approved, and drive home today with nothing due until autumn.
But hurry, these offers won't last forever.
Visit Jeff Weiler Columbus Auto Mall and take advantage while selection is strong.
Bubba Wallace here from 2311 Racing. Funny thing about being fast, you end up waiting a lot. First to show up, first in line, then just waiting. Me, I rev up Chumba Casino. With over 200 social casino games, no slow lanes here. Why sit around when you can spin? I'm already racing. Your turn. Play for free at ChumbaCasino.com. That's Chumba.
Sponsored by Chumba Casino. No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 21 plus. Terms and conditions apply.
Hey guys, it's Tim Miller from The Bulwark. I'm here with Will Sommer, author of the False Flag newsletter. You can get over at thebulwark.com. And I wanted to pull him in because I just read this, 50,000 word New Yorker profile on a guy named Curtis Yarvin. For people who don't know Curtis, Will's going to explain that to us. But the short of it is he's, if you want to call it a philosopher, he's the internet philosopher to the tech oligarchs that want to overthrow our democracy and replace it with a techno-fascism or possibly like a benevolent monarchy, depending on the day. And so this person is unfortunately extremely influential. We have to know about him. J.D. Vance reads about him. Peter Thiel reads him. Mark Andreessen reads him. Donald Trump doesn't read, but everybody else in the circle does read them. So, Will Sommer, that was my short summary. Why don't, for the uninitiated, why don't I give people a little bit more on Curtis Yarvin?
Yeah, I mean, that summed it up pretty well. I mean, this is a guy who started out as a blogger under the name Mencius Moldbug. So that kind of is kind of like scurrying out from the dark web. And basically, he has a lot of, kind of pretentious sounding ideas, but they boil down to that America should be run as sort of a techno dictatorship by Silicon Valley, and that anyone, that they don't like, that rich people don't like, should be taken care of in, a presumably violent way. And so, as you can imagine, these people love him because he just says, people like Peter Thiel should be the king of America. And so as a result, he's become this sort of beloved figure, all the way up to J.D. Vance saying, he has great ideas about purging the federal bureaucracy, stuff like that.
And just to put like an additional finer point in it, like on why we should give this fucker the time of day, because God, I'm reading this article, it's really enough to send you into the depths of despair, honestly, that we could be doing a national suicide because of this idiot's blog. He's not an idiot. This person who needed to be hugged as a child and who needed more friends in high school's blog, maybe. He's intellectually smart, but very, very strange. But in addition to being influential with these other influential people at this administration, he didn't coin the term red pilling, which is from the Matrix, but I guess he kind of popularized it. It's a very popular term, a less popular term, but one that you see around, this idea that there's the cathedral. It's kind of this like, woke liberal establishment or whatever that needs to be attacked. He has a following among like young, nerdy, high IQ, high aspiring boys, mostly. But to a degree that's pretty alarming, kind of like a little bit of maybe a Jordan Peterson overlap, maybe an upmarket Jordan Peterson, potentially. So I don't know. Those are a couple of reasons. Anything else on why this asshole is relevant and why people should stick around for the funny anecdotes from the story we're about to tell?
Yeah, I mean, he clearly sees himself, as sort of this like corrupter figure almost, where he takes people who are on the track to be in the sort of liberal elite. J.D. Vance is kind of the model example here in that this was someone who was going to Yale, all this stuff. And then this idea that these ideas, even if not Yarvin himself, kind of turned him towards the right. And so in this way, Yarvin, he describes himself as a dark elf giving like forbidden mushrooms to corrupt other elves. So that's sort of the milieu we're in.
Yeah. And I do think that, he fully believes a lot of his bullshit, right? And it kind of doesn't matter what elements he does and doesn't believe. But I do think that like what is relevant is he does like that idea that he sees himself as kind of a provocateur or somebody like implants these ideas into people's head in a way that makes them think, right? Like he plays on the vanities of smart people who who like want to be contrarian, like they don't want to have the same view that every Barack Obama supporting technocrat had, right? And so he like drops these little ideas in about, you know, how, you know, wouldn't society be better if it was more homogenous, or, you know, like wouldn't look at how successful Singapore and Abu Dhabi is. Maybe the whole world should just be little mini Singapores and Abu Dhabi. So like, he just throws out random stuff like that, hoping to get people like who are in influence, I guess, hoping to radicalize them, hoping to kind of tickle their little brain cells and be like, oh, that's a more interesting opinion than, you know, just thinking that we should help bolster the social safety net and be kind to people.
And it's a very flattering view, you know, to say to someone, you know, you kind of see the world in a way no one else does. Or in the case of these people who already have power and money, to say, you know, I think the world should be run by people exactly like you.
Yeah. All right. So to his origin story a little bit, he's a child prodigy who I guess gets put into high school in a sophomore year of high school at age 12 and graduates college at 18. That works out for some people, but just kind of as one man's opinion, if you have a child that's a super prodigy, I try to keep them a little closer to the peers. Like the ones that are that much of an outlier do end up having some socialization issues, in my experience. Small sample size, but the ones I know have some socialization issues. And it does feel like a lot of the themes as you get through this story, I kind of call back on that. Like that this is a very smart young person who like wanted to get a pat on the head from older people that he was around that are like, oh, you're so smart. We like, you know, give him credit for things. And he's always trying to kind of earn that like respect, and that he is doing that, but like with the masters of the universe now. And that there is kind of a deep insecurity that he's still trying to compensate for. What do you think about that pop psychology?
I mean, I think that's right. I mean, it's certainly the way the article presents it is that it really kind of all goes all the way back to this kind of weird upbringing this guy had. It suggests that his dad was very tyrannical, that he sort of became, kind of went off into his own world, and that in a way, like his embrace is of all of these off the wall ideas is sort of a way of like getting back at people or saying, you know, it's my genius they can't handle, not my perhaps off-putting personal behavior. At one point, you know, in terms of like sucking up to powerful people, he goes to visit this kind of much more courtly far right French writer in the article who owns a castle.
Camus.
And he says, so he says, how much you pay for this thing? The guy's like, ugh. And then he writes an article saying, I was just visited by a weird creep from America.
I loved that anecdote. He cried a couple times. And the person he goes to meet, Camus, no relation to Albert, was also a noxious creature in his own right, and was, I guess, the person that was the popularizer of this kind of a notion of this great replacement that was happening in Europe and now in America, where, you know, folks from the third world were coming to the country and they're going to replace the you know, historical, you know, white population. So Yarvin goes to like on a pilgrimage to meet this older man, and then apparently, in addition to annoying him by asking about how much things cost, also just like talked the whole time and like gave him his opinion on random people throughout history. Started being like Napoleon III and, you know, like naming like random leader, landing people through history and ranting. And the guy, I like, couldn't get a word in edgewise. And again, the article paints it as like this guy trying so hard to like earn the approval of this elder racist, you know, that like he actually turns him off.
Yeah, I mean, it suggests that he's, you know, getting basically drunk, and he's saying, you know, weeping and saying, I don't want my kids to die in mass graves for being white. And this French guy's like, whoa. Hey.
A lot of weeping. He cries three separate times during the article. Also a lot of racist comments. I don't think this should be surprising to anybody, but he had a documentarian following him around in addition to the New Yorker reporter. So it's definitely a person that wants attention. So it seems like a lot of times the New Yorker reporter and the documentarian sort of were in the same place together. The documentarian was expressing some frustration that like he gives the same long soliloquies about the random like things that he cares about over and over again. So it becomes useless film. And also he says racist stuff so much that he's worried that is not going to allow it to sell. At one point, Yarvin pulled out his iPhone to demonstrate that he'd hacked the chatbot Claude to get it to call him by the N-word. Also, one of the ex-girlfriends, I guess, that is interviewed talks about that was a big complaint of hers, that he would say the N-word a lot. So, I mean, again, this probably shouldn't be surprising. He also says one of his ideas for blacks in America is that church blacks should be put in charge of the ghetto blacks.
Yeah, I mean, and these are obviously so many strange anecdotes about a very weird guy. Yeah. And then you have to keep in mind, I mean, this is a guy who's coming to D.C., palling around with kind of the leaders of the MAGA movement, and who's been, you know, praised by our vice president, among other things.
Yeah, the vice president meets him in the story. So they're at an inauguration party, and J.D. comes up to him. And the story puts it, he amiably greets him, you reactionary fascist. And kind of they have a big laugh about how they call this guy reactionary fascist. And so, again, like, extremely alarming. Like, the vice president is reading this guy who, like, loves saying the N-word, like, has very, like, retrograde views, to say the least, about what to do with the black folks in America. I want to go through a couple other things in his blog. He joked about converting San Francisco's underclasses into biodiesel to power the city's buses. He suggested putting them into solitary confinement, hooked up to a virtual reality interface, because it's crucial to find a humane alternative to genocide, an outcome that achieves the same result as mass murder without any of the moral stigma. You could potentially do that through an AI. It's not that it's wrong in its face for the vice president to read provocative bloggers and, you know, to get a wide variety of views. I fucking read this asshole. The concerning part to me is, like, that it's not that he just reads them. It's that they're pals. Like, he considers him a friend. Mark Andreessen, another big advisor to Trump, calls him his friend when they talk about him.
Yeah, I mean, I think it's concerning that someone with these kind of crazy ideas would get this close to power and obviously be influencing it. I mean, he's, you know, you mentioned the biodiesel thing. I mean, he's weeping at one point about how America treats the homeless. And he says, there has to be a better way, like melting them down for fuel. And it's like, I don't think that's a better way. I mean, he's very into this monarchy idea that we would be, you know, all ruled by, like, basically like sort of a Saddam Hussein type figure. And he says, well, you know, we'd be treated really well because we'd be the king's slaves, essentially. And it says, oh, geez, you know, I don't think that's such a great plan.
He also compliments China and Russia as having preferable systems. He wants Russia to take over Europe. And thinks that the Chinese system is good. He's never been to China. The reporter pushes him a couple times on, like, well, you're supposed to be a free speech guy. And he's like, well, you know, in China, you know, there's not really threats to free speech. As long as
you only get canceled. Yeah.
As long as you're not organizing against the leader, the chairman. I guess we could go through more. If this has intrigued people at all, read the article. If it's repulsed you and you don't want to know anymore, God bless you. Move on to the next YouTube video that we have. But I guess to me, like, we've made this point, but just to drive it home, like, the notion that this clearly emotionally unstable person who's, like, randomly weeping at times during interviews, like, talking about race science, like, has deeply racist views, has, like, insane proposals for what society should look like, has, like, very deep knowledge about random history stuff and some computer science, but, like, inch deep rationales for what he wants to do. Like, when you follow up with him on what the Saddam Hussein, like, government would look like, he doesn't have any, like, he can't follow up basic questions. The idea that this person could so have inspired the people that are extremely influential in tech and in the future of the country with AI, extremely influential in the Trump administration, young up and coming people, like, that this man could be the one that is their philosopher king, like, makes me want to just jump out the window. I don't know about you. I guess that's my final point.
I mean, I think it's very malevolent and it's also really shallow. And before we go, can we just drill down on the helmet anecdote?
Oh, please.
So at one point, I mean, this isn't really like a sinister, but the people basically just describe him because he's, you know, it's like a 16, 17 year old in college. He's very weird. And, you know, people remembered him in college just insisting on wearing a bike helmet to class. And so he was keeping this bike helmet on. And when the reporter says that one, you know, asks one of his classmates, do you know Curtis Yarvin? The guy says, oh, you mean Helmet Head?
And again, I think that's where we are. It's like Helmet Head is influencing the top reaches of our of our government, and Helmet Head's acolytes are trying to overthrow our democracy, like, because, you know, the other kids at Berkeley thought he was strange. It seems like it's really some pretty bleak stuff, but that's what you come here for, bleak material. Go subscribe to Will Summers' newsletter. He's got some doozies coming out this week. I heard a little briefing this morning about what he has in store, so make sure you're checking that out, and subscribe to the feed here. And I read very long New Yorker articles about horrible people, so you don't have to. We'll see you soon.
The Jeff Weiler Columbus Auto Mall is turning up the heat this summer. Buy now with no down payment and no payments for 120 days.
That means no payments until fall. No payments until fall.
With over 8,000 cars, trucks, and SUVs available, there's something for every budget and lifestyle. Pick your ride, get approved, and drive home today with nothing due until autumn. But hurry, these offers won't last forever. Visit Jeff Weiler Columbus Auto Mall and take advantage while selection is strong.
Ryan Seacrest here. When you have a busy schedule, it's important to maximize your downtime. One of the best ways to do that is by going to ChumbaCasino.com. Chumba Casino has all your favorite social casino games like spin slots, bingo, and solitaire that you can play for free for a chance to redeem some serious prizes. So hop on to ChumbaCasino.com now and live the Chumba life. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 21 plus. Terms and conditions apply.
Hi, I'm Richard Karn, and you may have seen me on TV talking about the world's number one expandable garden hose. Well, the brand new Pocket Hose Copperhead with Pocket Pivot is here, and it's a total game changer. Old-fashioned hoses get kinks and creases at the spigot, but the Copperhead's Pocket Pivot swivels 360 degrees for full water flow and freedom to water with ease all around your home. When you're all done, this rust-proof anti-burst hose shrinks back down to pocket size for effortless handling and tidy storage. Plus, your super light and ultra-durable pocket hose Copperhead is backed with a 10-year warranty. What could be better than that? I'll tell you what, an exciting radio exclusive offer just for you. For a limited time, you can get a free pocket pivot and their 10-pattern sprayer with the purchase of any size Copperhead hose. Just text WATER to 64000. That's WATER to 64000 for your two free gifts with purchase. W-A-T-E-R to 64000.
By texting 64000, you agree to receive recurring automated marketing messages from Pocket Hose. Message and data rates may apply. No purchase required. Terms apply. Available at pockethose.com/terms.